Welcome to The Ether. Today is Wednesday, March 23rd, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by Glow Yield. Glow Yield is the ecosystem of Terra decentralized apps like Lotto and Creators, all powered by DeFi Yields. Glow Creators helps artists and influencers give their fans exclusive perks through membership, NFTs, and more. Glow Lotto is a PrizeLink savings account with a weekly chance to win the big jackpot. Tickets are free and perpetual, which means there's zero chance to lose money. Be sure to follow Glow Yield on Twitter and join the Discord community to stay up to date with all the glowing projects and check them out online at glowyield.com. This episode of The Ether is also brought to you by Talus. Talus Protocol is the NFT platform for independent artists on Terra. Talus helps to provide artists with the tools and resources needed to transition from traditional art into the NFT world. With their V1 launch coming soon, Talus will be the place to see real-world art reflected on Terra. Be sure to join their Telegram and follow Talus on Twitter for updates on their roadmap, validator, and other Talus news. Find your next favorite artist on talus.art. Terra Spaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. Today on The Ether, Super Terra. What makes a great NFT project? Let's take a listen.
Now, I was going to say, we're expecting quite a few guest speakers. I was going to suggest we give it another minute or so, and then we can get underway. And obviously, if any of the good folks that are already on the call would like to request to speak, I mean, this is going to be very much an open conversation, as it always is on our spaces.
One of the founders of Strange Clan on as well, which will be cool. Yeah, sweet. We'll give it a couple minutes. I'm still very morning brain. I'm down in Melbourne. I went to Blockchain Australia Week yesterday, which was a big conference with there's a lot of NFT stuff and founders of Synthetics and Immutable and heaps of other companies. So it's pretty cool.
Marvellous. And your voice betrays you might have had quite a late night as well, which is all good.
Yeah, running on about 3 hours a night average over the last couple nights.
Brilliant. Well, a bit more mundane. My day jobs have me driving all over the country this last week, just when the fuel crisis hit. So I've literally just got home about half an hour ago. So I'm really excited to have this Spaces. And obviously, we're not doing our usual day, but it's really good to be back. And I'm over the jet lag and feel like I'm back in the right time zone now. It's only taken me 2 or 3 days. Well, I think what we'll do, as we always do, let's kick things off. Obviously, this Spaces will be recorded, so plenty of opportunity to listen back post the event. And with thanks, as always, for the excellent work that Finn and the Terra Spaces team do. Really, really grand job right across Terra, and indeed expanding into other chains as well. So I really appreciate that. So giving Simon his kind of morning brain chance to warm up. I mean, the subject this week is deliberately quite broad. We're seeing now, I'd say, within Terra, a degree of maturation. There's a range of projects have moved way past their kind of initial, you know, Genesis mints. Some really good post-mint utility. Great to see Coleman on here. Great if you want to step forward. I think some of the things, you know, I'm a massive fan of Lunar Balls. I like what you guys are doing. Really evolving to that next level. And I think as well, we've got another guest group we're hoping to have on slightly later from a different chain to talk about some of their own experiences as well. So, yeah, really keen to kind of do that kind of open sharing dialogue that we always do. And I think for me, just one to mention, which I thought was a brilliant bit of, well, in fact, there's two pieces today, one of which I missed. There was a stealth mint by Unstables on Talus. They did some Do Kwan tribute NFTs. Alas, they sold out pretty quickly. Such is the word of mouth within Terra, which I think is also a testament to how the chain is growing. And the other one that I really liked, I don't know if anyone else on this call picked up on it, a very clever bit of puzzle working from the guys at Terranauts, who basically were giving away fragments of a signal. If anyone has a Terranauts NFT, you can get a free mint of a signal fragment, and there's all sorts of excitement going on in their Discord. But it's just one of many examples of how projects are creating quite a lot of buzz, you know, post that initial minting push and so on. So I think that's something that personally really excites me. I like to see that in the space. And perhaps another quick mention as well before we kind of dive into things is the staking of NFTs. We've seen obviously some quite high profile coverage of the Galactic Punks and their staking. Alas, I still don't own a Galactic Punk, but I do think it's an excellent move forward for those guys. And we are going to make it monkeys have been for the last few weeks allowing staking of their Kongs and monkeys to basically produce baby monkeys. So I think that's quite exciting. That's a kind of, you know, staking with a difference. So you'll gain a new NFT. I've seen some of the first ones of those being born, as it were, and being shared on social media. So yeah, just examples of very interesting, quirky, projects, Genesis or post-Genesis activities that are capturing the interest. So Simon, hopefully you have a chance to warm up your brain a bit. And obviously we've got some other people are joining the call now. Please, if anyone wants to step forward and join this debate, just literally press request and we'll get you up onto the stage and we can have a really good chat around your thoughts on, you know, what makes a great NFT project.
Yeah, for sure. I'll save the heavy lifting or the heavy stuff for when the guests fill in a little bit. I think there's just a couple cool avenues we can go down. Oops, sorry.
Yeah, we sort of lost you for a second there, Simon. Sorry, but carry on.
Yeah, sorry. I'm actually at Simon's in Melbourne, and the internet doesn't seem to be great down here. But So I said I'd save. I had some really, really good. There's a few avenues you can go down with values for NFT and great NFT projects, because there's so much there. You know, there's so many different avenues. If you're looking at the technology and you're looking at, you know, NFT projects that are pushing the boundaries of technology, like you're looking at, I mean, like Styler, for example, or you know projects that are pushing the boundaries of financial staking and money through that. But then you're also looking at, you know, projects that become pop icons almost, you know, they become, part of a cultural movement, which, you know, people want to put their identities with. And I'll touch on this a little bit later, but if you look at a project, take World of Woman NFT, for example, right? It's a statement to own and to showcase a World of Woman NFT is usually a statement of your core beliefs and values as a person in line with the particular, you know, community that you've decided to join and you're representing. And I think there's some really cool stuff we can touch on there, but I think we're talking more about a great NFT project than we are what makes them valuable, but that can tie in for sure, and there's ways we can definitely tie that in.
Absolutely. And I think it's probably remiss of us not to talk about, and again, obviously nothing to do with Terra, but the very, very high profile activities that some of the big ETH projects are really pushing forwards with at the moment. Some of the value capture is quite astonishing, and some of the tweets I see for airdrops are really eye watering, sort of quite mind boggling. You know, particularly it's the Ape Coin, which it seems to be on a frightening spiral. But I'm staying well clear of that one. But I mean, the point there is that anyone obviously who was lucky enough to mint some of those NFTs in the early stages, those projects are absolutely laughing all the way to the bank and beyond, and it's just really interesting to see how that they have evolved. So we're hoping that we'll have a couple of guest speakers joining us very soon, but in the meantime I'll sort of reiterate my request to anyone on the call who wants to step forward and give you your own thoughts. That would be amazing. We've got some really good icons and names I recognize, which is always fantastic. And thank you again, given that we had a very slight hiatus and a change of day. with my much needed break, and Simon quite rightly spending some really good quality time in Melbourne at the blockchain event there. In fact, with that in mind, Simon, just while we obviously wait for people to join, was there anything particular that caught your eye in terms of the kind of the NFT space and conversations that you had at that event?
Well, to be honest, like with that event, I rocked up to the event and ended up networking and talking to people the whole time. So I missed most of the calls there, to be honest with you. I caught a couple of snippets there that around NFTs, but there wasn't. Yeah, it wasn't too much. It was more just going around chatting to every single human there, and met some really cool people actually, from NFT founders to people working and building in, Algorand and Avalanche and pretty much every ecosystem, which was surprising about Avalanche because it's the conference overseas. But there was, you had a lot of cool people there, and a lot of people were very interested in the DeFi NFT stuff. So that was a very interesting touch point. I mean, I guess it's also the groups, because I feel like NFTs and I feel like blockchain, sometimes cross over, but they often have slightly different crowds. So the DeFi guys, they are interested in NFTs, but they're not across as much. Whereas the NFTs, the guys that are really, really into NFTs, they're mainly into NFTs and less across DeFi. So it's quite interesting going there. And a lot of people were listening, but a lot of people came and were just networking and chatting and meeting new people and stuff like that.
Cool. It's interesting you mentioned obviously Algorand. I mean, that was strangely the first chain where I purchased NFTs, which is not exactly seen as a heartland for these new types of projects. But for me, there's some good innovation going on that chain. One of the things that really impresses me, and I must say almost every time, you almost forget how new this all is. Really, even some of the blue chips in ETH have only been in existence for 18 months or so in some cases, and within obviously the Terra space, first projects launching in sort of September, October of last year. It's really, very, very recent memory, and it's incredible obviously how many different projects have launched. And actually the sustainability is very clear, that there's a whole range of that initial wave of projects that are still incredibly active. There are admittedly some that faded out. I think for me, part of what makes a great NFT project is, I think, as I say this every time, is community. But I think as well, it's innovation. And what I like is I'm seeing a lot of very clever approaches and almost testing the boundaries. Because again, there's not really a kind of handbook for a lot of what's been tried. Yes, you can look at other chains, you can make some movements based on that. But ultimately, what you have to do is say, it's almost like almost a test and learn philosophy that I see going on. I think that's quite exciting. And I think there's a really fertile, ground for people wanting these things to succeed. So I can see we have our first guest. Wonderful. Oh, disappeared again. Hey, what's happened there? We did. Yes, brilliant. That's right. Thank you. So wonderful to have you on the call, Coleman. Obviously, as you know, I'm a huge fan of Lunar Bulls. I'll give you the floor, sir.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Very well, good. Very well. It's great to have you on.
Yeah, no, it's an absolute pleasure. I was, I'm just having a bit of a chilled out evening, had quite a busy day. So I'm just sort of having a bit of a relaxing evening. And I saw this pop up in one of my reminders. So I thought, yeah, it's probably something that I want to be sort of listening into for sure. But just, the reason why I kind of put my hand up and thought I'll jump on quickly is just reflecting on what you were saying about what makes a great NFT project. And I think I just wanted to put my two penneth into that, if I may. And I just thought that, from my point of view, certainly in the early days of Lunar Bulls around September last year, September, October, I think what defined us, apart from being early, of course, which is, an incredibly fortunate position to be in. If you can get in early, then, half the battle, or at least, a quarter of the battle is certainly, if you conduct yourselves correctly and you're committed, then you're really onto it. You've already got a good head start, ahead of the pack. So that certainly helped us, I would say, being early. But over and above that, I think, to be honest, the team behind the project, that the fact that the guys that, you know, were early on the team and those first guys in, you know, in the door were just so fiercely committed to making it work. You know, they were absolutely animalistic in their hunt for making that project successful, and still are, you know. So, and I think that really is one of the key factors in separating an NFT project that does really well and an NFT project that kind of coasts along and does okay, or indeed NFT projects that fall by the wayside. It's just, I was struck immediately in the kind of the back end of the Luna Balls project by just how much the individuals who were coming in, even on a moderator, you know, even coming through as moderators in the channels, were just so committed to the cause of the project and making it successful. And, you know, I think that really, really is what separated us, you know, and gave us that early success and indeed, you know, the continued success that we've been having as an NFT project on Terra. I think that's one of the main factors, to be honest.
And I think something else I'd throw in is, even from the outset, I mean, obviously, you know, very exciting. You're absolutely right. There was a first mover advantage there. But even in that kind of early stage of the roadmap, yeah, you were talking about things like the Tesseract was something that was talked about very early on. That whole idea of thinking about the future, the plans for the metaverse. And one of the things that I really loved, and I was fortunate on that occasion to catch it when it was happening, was the stealth mint as well. And it feels like, you know, you're innovating very quickly and very well. And I think what I take out, what you just said as well, which I hadn't really thought about, I guess you're almost taking it as a given, because I'm a massive advocate, as you know, as well. The kind of the energy, really, isn't it, that the project creates? And I think versus perhaps several projects we can all perhaps think of, I tend not to talk down on projects that have failed or have quietly fizzled out. It's not really my style, but I guess we all know some that kind of appeared and then either, I'm not talking about rugs here, because obviously there were a few of those, but ones that you felt like there was a half an energy to get minting early, and then there wasn't anything following it. Whereas I felt with Luna Balls, you actually built quite a lot of noise before the mint and then followed through with the promises. Because I would say, as someone that's, you know, very active in the space as a participant in the projects, from a, you know, purchasing and Discord involvement and everything else, I think it's promise and delivery are massive, massive things. I just welcome your views on that, because I think, you know, I think you've got a good example of a roadmap that delivered.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I mean, I couldn't agree more on the fact that innovation was certainly one of the factors that gave us, you know, an additional head start, other than being early and obviously the team, you know, the dedication of the team itself. But yeah, innovation, and also what you just hit the nail on the head, delivering. So, you know, the I think the famous the saying, as they say, under promise and over deliver. So, and I think that was one of the things that we really wanted to do from the outset, is not to try to tease the the community too much into things that might be, that might not be. So we were really careful in that respect, to make sure that whatever we promised the community, or whatever we discussed with the community, that we were thinking, you know, whatever directions we were thinking about going in, that we meant to deliver on that, and we had a clear cut vision of, you know, exactly when that would be possible as well, so as not to, you know, give anyone the feeling that like they were being kind of led on in any way. I think that was really key for us, and just on the subject of direction as well, I think that was key for us as well, as having a very clear direction from the outset. So when we finished, or when we're not, before we even finished minting, was before that. So before the mint, it was very clear of what the direction that we wanted to go in. We wanted to head towards, you know, the design creative element. The metaverse was really key for us at that point. So, and staying focused and moving in that direction constantly, and not getting distracted with the financial aspect, sort of moving towards validators, or moving sort of in that direction towards staking immediately, or DAOs, which seemed to be kind of the, you know, definitely the most popular rhetoric at that stage. People, it was, everyone was talking about that, but we were kind of pre-metaverse kind of shill phase. People weren't really, you know, I don't think Zuckerberg had actually come out and said the word meta at that point, when we had already decided that was the direction that we were going to go in. So yeah, definitely that was key for us as well. Absolutely.
And I think that's a really good point as well. I think, you know, in terms of that sense of direction, and actually being, you know, quite innovative in terms of, I think, you know, Zuckerberg is a bit of a swear word for me. I think it probably is with a lot of people. But I think yeah, you've created a sense of where we actually can go with a project. And certainly, as I say, I remain a committed fan and long-term holder, and love what you're doing. I guess I'm not trying to tease Alpha here, because that's not what this call is about. But if you were looking, and again, you don't need to name any other projects, but what kind of innovations do you admire that you see in other either projects or chains? Just as one last thought before I sort of
okay, so you're speaking more about inspiration.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I guess what we're looking at here is that kind of, I know it's a very kind of broad question of what makes a great NFT project. I think absolutely you've outlined some of the excellent kind of insider views of how, you know, Lunar Bulls has been such a huge success, but just welcome your thoughts on, you know, how you see it as a participant in the market.
Yeah, well, I mean, I came over from Ethereum to Terra, and I was kind of an NFT freak before I actually arrived on Terra. So I certainly brought a lot of that with me into the project when I got there. And then it was blatantly obvious that Fizzy was a huge fan of Bored Ape Yacht Club. So, and me too, and several of the other guys on the team also fans of BAYC. So yeah, we definitely took some inspiration from those guys and what's going on the Ethereum network for sure. I believe in those early stages and still now. So yeah, without a doubt, we're constantly looking at other projects like that and seeing what direction they're going in and looking at inspiration. I think we got to the stage now to a certain extent where we're kind of you know, we're doing a lot of free thinking ourselves as well, and trying to just come up with something that no one else is doing. You know, that's the challenge at the moment. I would like to say though, right now, I mean, because you mentioned Alpha, I'm completely out of the loop. So I'm just so busy with other things going on at the moment that I don't have a lot of Alpha or if any to give. The team over there have been so awesome with me sort of running around and sort of doing things in real life at the moment. They've been really supportive of that. So that I'm kind of, you know, heavily involved in that side of things right now. So I've got no Alpha, sorry.
That's quite all right, but I just want to say, I know you wouldn't bring it up yourself, but what you're doing for the charity in the Ukraine side of things is absolutely inspiring, and you know, that's great. Hats off to you for doing all of that. So I know you've got a lot of stuff going on outside of Lunar Bulls, but no, thank you. I genuinely wasn't fishing for Alpha. I mean, this call is more about a general view, and yes, on some of my one-to-one interviews, I'll absolutely fish for Alpha, but that's great. No, thanks ever so much. Great to have you up as a speaker. We now have someone else who I've spoken to electronically, but I don't believe we've ever spoken on voice before. I might mispronounce your name as a net result of that. It's either Gilles or Gilles or Gilles. Lovely to have you on the session.
Yeah, thanks, Superpower. You did pronounce it right the last time. My journey was a little bit different than Coleman's. Walk Me Monkeys was actually my first Terra NFT. I did some stuff on ETH and I seen Solana Summer. But from the outside, this was my first chance to really get into an ecosystem early. So I went for it, and the monkeys, I really liked the art. In the beginning, they weren't all that well known. I guess most of the space didn't even know of them until the gongs. Yeah, there were only 500 of them, and we did have a good bump, I guess, to an 80 floor. So that was pretty exciting for me, and I wanted more of that. But as we all know, we got bearish quite quick after the first bump. I also had a bull back then. I bought it like a cock after mint for 10 Luna. But yeah, lessons were learned. The Walk Me Monkeys, I had a different journey with them. And yeah, we built a community. We minted the gongs. Now we're doing the babies. It's looking good for the monkeys. And we also have the doll. So yeah, good stuff.
And as you can see from my profile picture, I'm a big fan of the Kongs. And you're absolutely right. The Monkeys launched, and before I even knew it, they'd sold out. And so, you know, really, really powerful message. And I think that, you know, the follow-up that I've seen, and I agree with you as well, I think that the art style is really nice, and that is important. And I'd say the same about Lunar Balls as well. One of the first things I always look for personally is, do I like the art? And again, I'm not going to be rude to projects where I don't like the art, but there are some where I've gone, oh my God, and it is puts me off. And then, of course, the second part that I always look for is you know, what are the plans really? What's the roadmap look like? What's the utility look like, and so on? And actually, also, you know, the community itself, you know, really kind of breeds a power and a passion. And I think I've seen that certainly when I've been in you know, various Discords, certainly both Lunar Balls and We Are Going to Make It, and there's so many others where there's just a nice vibrancy and energy to the Discord and the community. And I think, as Coleman mentioned, when you've got, you know, chat moderators who absolutely kind of live the project as well, it just really lifts everyone and it creates a very nice buzz around it. So obviously you're very much a massive fan of the Kongs. Any other projects, obviously, whilst we've got you up here to speak, that you really admire, and whether it can be in any chain, really?
Yeah, the man is here, Badgers. He might want to say some words as well. I'm bullish on the man because, yeah, he showed me some videos, some hype videos. Yeah, I saw them and I was instantly sold. Yeah, so let's speak him. Let's give him some words.
Question in regards to the roadmap. So I've heard this talk a little bit on ETH, actually. And so I'm interested to hear these thoughts, and this is part of what makes a great NFT project. Has to do with the roadmap. And I know you've been talking about the roadmap. And you hear a little bit of conflict in terms of the roadmap, where some people say, stay away from NFT projects that have a large, large roadmap. Some people are like, you need a large roadmap. So I wonder where the sweet spot is between...
We've lost you a bit, Simon.
Oh, sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's much better.
Yeah, sorry, my. Where's the fine line, and where's the balance between, having a roadmap that is actually, having a roadmap that is ambitious, right? And it's pushing the boundaries of innovation, but not one that is too much, in that users are like, it's too far in the future and it's too ambitious, that the likelihood of it being a cash grab tends to go up. So I've seen that kind of funny arm wrestle between, having a really ambitious roadmap and not having a roadmap at all. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on that balance and finding that sweet spot in terms of a great NFT project that has a great roadmap that isn't, we're going to build the biggest metaverse in crypto, large innovation crazy, but they're still kind of reasonable.
Were you asking me?
It's open, so anyone who's got any thoughts on this.
Yeah, it's a funny one, because WalkMe didn't start like this. We just had the 500 collection and the art was cool. And Super Tower mentioned, and Goldman as well. The tendency back then was to go for DAO, DeFi stuff with the validator staking like GP did. But we were never big enough to even think about that kind of stuff. So we had to rethink. WalkMe did. He came up with the Kongs, and not that long after, he also threw in a 3D model in the chat. So the whole chat went wild. And we went to the metaverse. Are we going? And the growing process of it all, I think, is cool. Dev still working is bullish. Of course, there's a fine line between DAO and active dev stuff, but I don't see why both couldn't coexist again.
Yeah, for sure. We've got a couple of speakers up now, so we've got FL and Randall as well, if you guys want to add any comments and join the discussion.
Sure, I'd love to join in. Thanks for having me. Before I do start, because I kind of appeared like, I think, right after Gills was responding. So would you mind just, I guess, resetting the room or just getting me kind of back on track with the question.
Yeah, for sure. I think we kind of veered onto different tangents. I can bring this question up. I was mentioning on ETH, I've heard some, you know, controversy around roadmaps and, you know, the kind of the arm wrestle and the juggle between having a roadmap that is, you know, ambitious and innovative, but at the same time is not too big that people think it's a cash grab. Because it seems to be like if your roadmap is so huge and ambitious, a lot of people can sometimes basket you in and, you know, the fact that it's selling empty promises, right, that never get fulfilled. So where do you find that balance? And where does a great project find that balance and roadmap that they're not just like, oh, the art's cool, we launched. I mean, there's no roadmap or no future plans, but also not, you know, the roadmap's not crazy ambitious in the terms that it's promising the world, you know?
That's so great of a question, I think. Wow. So I can say, I guess, from experience of looking at different projects and kind of, you know, where I'd like my investments to go and where I'd like, you know, which projects would definitely appreciate my investments and also allow me to have that long-term mindset. And I think usually I try to stay away from focus around vagueness in the roadmap. So firstly, just looking at an overall roadmap, I think any amount of vagueness where we talk about, for example, which is the most common, which I found to be the most common, collaborations, I think it's great. It's a great mindset to have collaborations, but we can see from all the different projects, whether they've launched or not, or are yet to launch, collaborations can mean a very, I mean, it can mean a lot of things. And when you're very vague on it, it tends to, you know, what do you mean by collaboration? Are you going to go speak to Adidas after launch? Are you looking at metaverse collaborations? Are you looking like, who are the specific people or what industry do they come from? Like, I need to know that you're aligned with, you know, if you're a brand, let's say, that focuses on, I don't know, help me out here. Let's say sneakers. Okay, I'll talk about something I'm actually enthusiastic about. So sneakers, if you're a brand focusing on sneakers and giving utility to those who, you know, want to buy sneakers and take them to the metaverse, like, who are you going to start speaking to? Because I don't want you saying, oh, yeah, we're going to have a collaboration with Nike. I think we can see that Nike is far from looking at collaborations with anyone outside of their current ecosystem. So being specific, I think, is the most important thing, and staying away from vagueness. If you don't know it, then how are you expecting me to understand it as an investor, right? And how are you expecting me to understand what you're going to do if you haven't discovered it yet? So if you haven't, then definitely keep it on the drawing board. I always encourage, like, founders and even artists to always have those ideas on the side, because you never know when you're going to sell out, let's say, or when you're going to have, you know, that community drive happen. And those are the perfect times to then go after the big fish, right? Go after the big project that you want to collaborate with, or even bring on board brands from Web2 and work together with them. So that's, I guess, the first perspective when it comes to what Gils was saying regarding, like, like introducing the DAO, for example. I think because these concepts are still not understood by the masses, it's best to always introduce it in small steps. And by that, I mean, for example, like, I'm a mod right now for a project called Angel Alliance, and we do have some format of a DAO. We're not obviously taking it to the, you know, definition by the book, per se, because we have to build up to it, because we have to remember that we as founders or mods or creators understand where we're going with a lot of these ideas, especially if we're looking to implement it as part of our roadmap. But we have to understand there's a journey that our investors take, right? They don't know who you are. You're not an established business from Web2 coming into Web3. There's a lot of things that still yet to be discovered. A lot of, like, you know, staking, for example. Though staking, there are so many projects right now on OpenSea, for example, that offer staking. I don't understand it. Like, what is happening? Like, yes, I'm staking my NFT, which means I can't sell it for a set period of time. But what's happening in the background? Educate me. And white papers, if I'm honest here, and I'm happy for everyone to challenge it, I find white papers so dry. Like, you're telling me to read black and white, just text after text with a bit of diagrams, which is so flat. you're selling me an NFT, you're selling me metaverse, you know, you're selling me something that I have yet to discover, yet to explore. So why are you giving me black and white research paper? You might as well give that to a university, go publish it. You know, I'm an investor. I'm someone who just has an everyday job. I have a family, or I have, you know, hobbies outside of the NFT world. I like to explore, like to game, like to eat. So I don't have time to sit there reading your, you know, 60-page white paper. If you're going to explain tokenomics, break it down for me. Give me visuals. Give me a video. Like, get someone on your team that can dox themselves. Talk to me about it. Show me some images. I mean, that's how I learned about NFTs. I watched people explaining it, but use visuals as well. And visuals help really translate a lot of the complication because you're showing them like a step-by-step, you know? So I think those are two important things where you're not being vague. You're being as specific as you can without revealing too much and exposing too much of, you know, the excitement that you want to build within your community. But then also knowledge. Like, I go into Discords and you have channels where they're telling you, this is how you practice security. It's just screenshots. Like, I could just go watch a YouTube video and learn more than I'm learning from your Discord. So why don't you create content that is curated by your team, by your project? So I feel like, you know what? I'm actually a part of this. They're not sending me to another YouTube video that's done by someone else. So yeah, it's like education and, you know, specifics.
Wow, that's some awesome input, Randall. That's some really good stuff that you've unpacked there for sure. And adding on the DAO stuff is quite interesting too, because, you know, especially over the last past couple of days, talking to, you know, a lot of early ETH founders. Of projects who've set up their DAOs, I think, you know, the DAO model will evolve anyway, even within NFTs. The way it works right now doesn't work very well for every situation, and it will evolve, and it is evolving. I mean, a lot of these guys are innovating on DAOs and working how to make them you know work better as well, for sure. So that's awesome. Does anyone else, I know that we have FL has been sitting up here for a while. Anyone else want to add? And as well, Randall, if you've got any more thoughts, of course, add them on, because I think that's really awesome around, you know, the vagueness in roadmaps and stuff.
I think the other thing I took out of it as well was you're absolutely right about those white papers. They're very dull. So I can see, Randall, you've got your hand up again. So yeah, please step forward, sir.
I'm sorry, I was kind of just making sure that everyone had a chance to input as well. I think, more importantly, you know, being someone who does lack a lot of knowledge on blockchain, like,
not sure what happened there. I think I pressed the wrong button. Apologies, Randall. Please speak again. Sorry about that.
Probably the mute all button.
Yeah, I was trying to. But someone came up to request, and I pressed the wrong button. I was a bit right. all thumbs. Apologies.
I'll keep it short this time. I promise. I think when it comes to the tech part of it, there's enough out there on YouTube and, you know, on Google for, like, I don't know, 1 billion searches available. But I think if you're going to promise something that's very tech related, like explaining DeFi, for example, or explaining, you know, how that works towards your project, or tokenomics, I know it has to get a bit technical, but there are certain elements that you can, you know, simplify. I think simplification, if you can simplify the idea, then it gives me enough trust to say, you know what you're talking about, because you've understood it in the most simplest format. And I work as a brand manager, so I have to then simplify how, like, you know, the brands I work for communicate themselves and simplify the idea of what they're selling or what they're representing. So yeah, I think simplification as well towards the more tech heavy related topics of a project within the roadmap is quite essential.
I think you've touched on something powerful there, because I think something that I've noticed that's been popping up that isn't necessarily beneficial and has probably, I think, some negative impacts on projects that, you know, trying to do right thing is having super complex tokenomic models that are like, you take one look at them and go, I don't want to learn about this, because there's like this crazy layers and levels of tokenomics and all this sort of stuff trying to, you know, be meta and adding all this stuff to the NFTs. And that's great. Look, don't get me wrong. I love the idea of tokenomics, love the idea of this sort of stuff. But DeFi and NFTs are separate, and they are separate for a reason. And you know, there's some crossover, and you know, me and the Loop team worked a lot on DeFi NFTs. But when you're bringing DeFi NFTs in, there needs to be a level of simplicity of the fact that there's people that come in and the art is what's bringing them into the space, right? The emotional connection, the art, not, you know, some crazy complex burning 10 levels deep benefits this from doing this, right? And tiers on tiers on tiers on tiers. And I've seen some of these, and some of these projects look great. And, you know, I look at the tokenomics model and I go, your art's cool, but I don't want to. Your art's cool, but this is frying my brain. And it doesn't even if it's in nice graphics and stuff, it's like, if you know, like a basic person can't understand it, then why is, you know, like your whole market going to, that is more that's interested in the community and the art, going to buy into your tokenomic structure? So I thought that was a cool ad. Yeah,
that is so true. I can see a couple of hands up. I'm conscious we've got another speaker as well, but I mean, my own thoughts on that, I agree. You sort of think, you know, Albert Einstein would struggle with some of the papers that I've read, and I just read them, I reread them, I re-reread them, and I think, what do I have to do this, and why should I? Where's the incentive? It's a really, really good point. Demystification is such a powerful part of what we need to do across the crypto industry more broadly. So obviously, both Gilles and Randall have your hands up. I'll go to Gilles first, and then I'll let Randall sort of follow up, and then after that, we'll introduce Barefoot Rabbits, who has been a regular contributor in the past. So first of all, Gilles, the floor is yours.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I think you had the key there, Simon. We all came for the art. Again, looking at Solana, they all come for the art. Not a lot of crazy tokenomic stuff with the successful projects there. But purely from my point of view, I like the monkeys, and I think the pixel art is great. So that's what got me there. Staying there, now that's a different story. But for the art, yeah, that's what got me here. So I do agree on your statement.
Thanks, Shields. And Randall, do you want to chip in? I see you got your hand up again.
Yeah, I just wanted to touch on both Gilles and Simon, like, we have to understand, I mean, a lot of times, and you can see this in happening in waves, where a project launches, especially after defining, you know, doing the due diligence of being as transparent from the white paper to explaining every single aspect of tokenomics, like making sure it's all on, you know, out there for everyone to read. But the masses that come in, similar to what Gilles highlighted, is they're all here for the art, or they're here for, you know, face value of what they see, whether it's the value of ETH that it's going to be worth, whether it's the art, like whether it's the community. These are all face values, what we can interact with, what we can see this the moment we enter the space. And if you're going to take us through that rabbit hole, you know, you want to ensure that happens at a later stage. You want the masses into your project. And by masses, I don't mean people are going to come in and flip or FUD your project, but you want everyone to appreciate what they see first and what they can interact with first before they get into the details of what you're going to give them. And I think when you're displaying it on the roadmap, make it as brief, but have the specifics available, and, you know, have them transparently available so everyone can do their own due diligence of research and so on. But for the masses to be able to interact, I think focus on community. Like, I've seen a lot of great projects lack the community, lack that engagement. And I don't mean community by, you know, the mods and the founders being on Discord and interacting on Discord. I mean the actual people you're bringing in, like the recruitment that you're doing of people to come into your project. Because, like, I've been a part of a community from my first investment, and that we're still in touch with each other. And I found that when they moved over to a new project together, they moved in a pack. First of all, that's like 10 people together who invested on a project, but they went on Twitter Spaces and they just spent like literally a whole week on Twitter Spaces together, just talking about the project, hanging out, inviting others from the project to come on board. And that drove their value up like crazy. And I'm talking about a project called Loser Club. You're welcome to look at their entire, you know, sales activities. It's been crazy. It was a 0.08 mint It wasn't difficult to get on the whitelist. Unfortunately, I was away, so I couldn't participate in any of that. And from there, they launched. The value was at 0.1. And then within a week of launching, they pushed up all the way to 0.5, the highest. Obviously, you're expecting it to fluctuate, you know, depending on what's happening with Ethereum in general or what's happening in the world. You're expecting this to fluctuate. But, you know, whenever projects start that high, like at 0.08 or even 0.1, you expect that dip to be a lot more. Like it'll drop down to, I don't know, 0.04, 0.03, depending on, you know, how many people are coming in for the flip. But because they had that community established, as soon as you get into Discord, everyone's talking to each other, everyone's interacting, and then they make that movement. So you as founders, you as creators, as mods even, don't have to, like, you know, spend your time grinding on Discord or Twitter spaces to get engagement, because they're going to go out there, they're going to talk about it, and then you have time in the background to focus on that roadmap. Because the second you sell out, they're going to come back on Discord and say, when XYZ, when XYZ, and that's all you're going to keep hearing. Then they're going to focus on the floor, and you can just, you know, I spent time researching, and by researching also observing, like, these are the behaviors. We're human beings, so, you know, act like a human being would and think like a human being. Yes, you have a lot to offer, but if there's no interactions, if you've defined your project as an interaction between, like, the investors and whatever you're offering them, then that's going to be very limited. And I would rather try to make the most out of my flip and then go off to a project where I don't feel like I want to let go of it.
Let me add, like, that was awesome, Randall. And like a little thing to add on to what you said there at the end, I think what's really important to understand is community building takes time, right? And it takes time to get people interacting. It gets time to get people to start discussions and start warming up and start engaging. So I think, you know, what some projects do really, really well, and you've just touched on, is leverage, right? So the ability to leverage existing communities or existing structures and things in place that enable to fast track that process. And I've been learning this recently a lot with other DeFi projects, is, you know, you can work yourself into the ground trying to, you know, build community from scratch. But the best way that you can actually leverage communities is create these win-win situations where you're reaching out to, you know, other communities around the space, adding value to different communities. And you will start to attract people from different communities that are already engaged, that are already communicating, that are already active, rather than trying to reinvent the wheel and start from scratch, because starting from scratch is painful, whereas leveraging existing structures and things makes life so much easier. You know, you fast track your process 10 times, you get a lot higher quality people, more engaged people. So I think that was a great point where, you know, they did grind. Obviously, they went on Twitter Spaces and they, you know, grinded out for a week, but they already had some community and they were able to attract in these other communities around the place. To kind of build that hub, and I think that's key.
I think I'd like to chip in there as well and say, when you look at the examples, I think we talked earlier about, you know, what is a collaboration? Does it mean anything? Is it something nebulous? But actually, you do see some really good collaborations where, you know, project A, a group of people in that community get very passionate about an upcoming project, and they actually take that, if you like, noise into the new project, and I've seen a number do that, and obviously there's the opportunity to kind of offer preferential, you know, whitelist spaces, etc. But it's often done from a position of having done some research. And I think probably a good example there, a recent project that launched, whilst the project itself was relatively, you know, low key, I really like the kind of the research angle of Wrecked Wolf, where they would look at a range of new projects that were up and coming and encourage their community to investigate particular, you know, minting activities and give a view and actually review, you know, forthcoming roadmaps and so on, and then get that kind of consensus in the Discord there around projects that they felt were going to be potential winners or otherwise. And I thought that's quite interesting, that kind of community approach. And obviously, if someone then identifies a project they think is going to be fantastic, that kind of creates additional impetus for that new project, which actually comes from without the project itself, but from within the community. So I just wanted to throw that one in as something else I've seen as an emerging trend. So Gilles, I see you've got your hand up again. I'm really keen as well that we give obviously Barefoot Rabbits a chance to speak. So if you want to sort of chip in with another comment, and then we'll move to bring in our Barefoot friend.
For sure, for sure. Yeah, I just wanted to add, it's a nice thing. I see WalkMe as an alpha sharing community. Of course, all do your own research. But we do like to go in early into promising mints. And yeah, we've done it with Outcats. We've done it with baby pools. We keep adding. And it have been pretty good ROI decisions for the ones that minted. So not bad.
Absolutely great shout there on Hellcats. I think that was one of the most impressive launches I've seen for some time, and they've really developed a good impetus around the project post-mint as well. And again, some really good collaborations that they've produced. You know, Dystope AI being a really good example that sticks in my mind, and many others. I think they've collaborated with most of the blue chips within Terra. So no, really great. No, thank you again, Jules. So yeah, well, I'd like to step forward, invite off some bit of strange feedback there. I was going to introduce our friend Barefoot Rabbits forward.
Can I add just a bit of admin first, just before you speak?
Of course.
Speak. Twitter has this bug at the moment, and just in case some of you are experiencing it, Twitter has this bug where certain speakers will cut off every couple of words. So you might hear someone say, you know, speak three words, and then it will kind of bug out and cut out. It doesn't happen for everyone, but just be aware of it. It is a current issue with Twitter Spaces that has this jumpiness. So if you're hearing that from any speaker, it's not that speaker's that mic necessarily, but it's happening with Super Terror right now, and I know that's actually not his mic, it's Twitter. So I just thought I'd add that there before Barefoot jumps on.
Yeah, I'll try again. No, thank you for that. I've had other people cut out as well. So I was just going to introduce Barefoot Rabbits to take the floor.
Yes. Hey, guys. I only had a question to Randall, really, or like more of like an inquiry about what he was saying about the white papers and roadmap. My thing is, when you join a lot of Discords, especially on certain blockchains, you get the same info. Like, I don't care what you join. Like, we can say the Solana blockchain. When you join a project, you check the white papers. A lot of it has already been said in another project or has already been said, and it's info you can find in a project that is already booming. So for a newer project, aka like myself, how would we engage people into the white paper and have it more engaging to where it's different than other people on the same blockchain? Like, what would engage people more? Because in my opinion, most white papers are just roadmap, just copied and paste from what I've seen.
Great question, Bear. Well, for me, I can say that when I, for example, went into one of these projects that talked about play to earn, that white paper was as dull as, you know, staring at a white wall.
And when you mean dull, you just mean details, or it just wasn't engaging, or
what? Yeah, it's literally like the research paper you would do, you know, back in your bachelor's degree, if you ever, you know, attended such classes where you just had to present lots of words with lots of references. I mean, what I'm trying to say is it's important to read it. I'm not at all discouraging anyone from reading white paper. But when you're telling someone who has no idea of what the hell a white paper is, you need to take them through. You almost need to feel like, you know, hand in hand, bring them through every single aspect of it, but in a way they can digest it. I mean, white papers literally look like the research papers I've been doing, you know, back in my bachelor's degree, where I just copy pasted a bunch of information, reworded it a bit to sound like I wrote it, you know, the typical things anyone pretty much does to fill up a page. And it's like, was that your assignment, or was this something you're actually trying to sell to me? Because here I'm talking, you know, I'm looking at investing. So I'm quite a visual reader, so I prefer picking up a book that has some great visuals, because I want to be able to translate it into something where I can take it and then practice it, right? Or talk about it. How am I going to talk to someone about a white paper for a project if it's just black and white, meaning just text and whiteness? Like, we don't have to be so literal with the fact that it's a white paper, that it needs to be white. Put some color. Like, get a graphic designer to put some proper graphics. Like, show me that you've invested time in making me want to understand this, not even if you've copied, you know, the mechanics that really work well for your project, that make sense for your project, it's fine. No need to like reinvent the wheel. But if you're going to do that, why should I, you know, why should I bother then if it's the same thing that I've read before? What makes it unique? What makes it attractive? What makes me want to pick it up? And that's kind of what you can see from just going into a bookstore. Like, what makes you pick up one book that talks about self-help over the other? It is part of the visuals. It is part of that depth, you know, of color, of choice. Like, you have to think like you're in a world where creativity is at the forefront now. So why not enhance every aspect of your project to always include creativity, always include an element of creativeness? Because you're selling me art, but then you're showing me black and white pages that I have to read and understand and somehow digest. I might as well print it out, put it on my toilet seat. When I have the time, I'll be interested. But before I get to that point, I'm probably going to sell when the floor is at the right price and move on.
All right. Well said, man. I was just asking because I'm making my white paper now, and it's just, I struggle with the engagement part. Like the part where, like, when you look at it, like you're saying, like, what really attracts your eyes to this part, that part? What makes this really stand out from that? As right now, it's like you're saying, it's just a whole bunch of words on a piece of paper, and what's the point of reading it, right? So thanks, man. You really put like something into my mind so I can think about it. That's all I really had to say too.
No, not at all. I hope I will. I mean, I wasn't at all like, you know, trying to be aggressive. Apologies if that's
no, but what you're saying is facts, man. Like, what, like, there's so many projects coming out now. You know what I mean? There's nothing you can do. You have to do something. You have to ask questions so you can know how to further your own project. You know what I mean? Without asking these questions and like hearing somebody's point of view will never further the project. You know what I mean? Like, you can't, I'm stuck in my own mindset unless I hear somebody else's mindset, if that makes sense.
Of course. I can give you maybe an example. I don't know if it's going to work to its best to explain it, but by, let's say, making it more engaging, rather than telling me this is how staking is going to work, why don't you maybe have someone animate or create the graphics of someone going through the process, like step one? You know, if you Google, I don't remember off the top of my head, there's some like great way, like setting up a MetaMask wallet or setting up a coin. Actually, Coinbase is the perfect example because they get you engaged in everything you're doing. Not to say that you have to create an app and then have people like input information, but there's a bit of visual element. There's like a video guiding you through like step one, two, three. Create some, any type of visual, even if it's a still image, like show me what staking means on your website. Like, you don't need to fully develop, you know, out the website aspect where you are including that staking, you know, feature, but give me an example, like really draw it out for me so I can visualize it as I'm reading, you know, side by side. I always look at it like, can you, with all the complicated text you have there to define, you know, be as transparent and as detailed, can you then also have something that simplifies it? So every point that I'm reading, there's a visual to support it, you know, not to make everything like your entire document a visual, but enough that I can digest it. You know, that's kind of why we look at business models, or we look at charts and research papers where they do so much studies, but it's so difficult to digest all that information. So the less visuals you have, the more complicated it is for me to translate, which means I have to have more conversations with people who understand it. And by all means, I don't know if there's ever a mod or, you know, the tech guy available sitting there on Discord saying, hey, ask me a question. You know, he's busy doing what he needs to do, preparing for the project to launch or preparing for everything to get set up. Yeah, so hope that helps.
Yeah, no, it definitely does. But also, did you just change your PFP picture, man? I swear your profile picture just changed, Randall.
Sorry? It changed?
Yes. Wasn't it pink before? Now it's like yellow.
Oh, I know. I came in with the same PFP. Maybe there's a delay on Twitter.
Maybe there's a delay or something. Because I was looking at you right now, and then it just changed, and I was so confused because I was about to follow you because you sound very knowledgeable, man.
I can be very honest with the entire room. Everything I'm saying, I've only taken from just business sense. Like, I've not reinvented anything or, you know, gone into an aspect that no one's explored. I think it's just, for me, I've always been an advocate of just sharing knowledge and business sense, I should say.
It's the way you're saying it, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this took me, I would say, a few years to get to this point of communication. But I encourage everyone to, like, continue working through conversations. It's developed my way of, you know, translating something that I wanted to say. And I think everyone has the capability, irrespective of which language you have as your first or second. If you can communicate your message and be direct about it, it helps everyone feel a lot more confident.
And I have to say, very, very powerful. And what I liked there was a really good example, which is something I really like to see in our community, of obviously Barefoot asking a question and actually finding a kind of, you know, a bit of useful feedback. And I think that's, we all try and do that. And I think, you know, I'll make an open offer to Barefoot as well. If you're looking for someone to maybe critique or read something, always happy to be a sounding board. And I think you'll find that it's a very friendly community. And Randall, I love it. You've given me some fresh perspectives. Really enjoyed your contribution today. It's fantastic. We've got two more speakers have come forward and been very, very patient indeed. Initially, we've got Archangel and also Agile Art. So perhaps first of all, Archangel, loving your PFP. And again, I think you and I have had electronic conversation in the past, but I don't think we've spoken before. So the floor is yours.
Hey, how you guys doing? I'm just here for a quick, brief comment. I've been listening for a while, but I'm at work, so it makes it hard to be a participant. But ultimately, like, for me personally, what I look for in all of these projects is passion, right? So if the creator doesn't have any passion, or at least any long-term vision or passion in the project, like, that's an instant red flag to me. If the people they're onboarding, you know, that they're bringing around them don't have any real love for the project, that's a red flag. I mean, it kind of applies to everything in life. You don't want the cook in your kitchen, you know, making your food if they don't have any passion for it, because you're gonna feel it, you're gonna sense it, and it's gonna make everybody run away. But yeah, you know, to Randall's point, if you have passion, you're gonna care about what you're putting out there. You're gonna do the extra mile, maybe. Sprucing up your white paper, making it more digestible to the eye for the reader. And then, yeah, also clarity on the technical side of things. If you're, God forbid, making a token for your NFT project, you better damn know well how it works and be able to explain it to everybody quickly and simply. But yeah, you know, that's the gist of it. Right now, PS Labs, WAGMI, who else we got? You know, obviously the blue chips, they've all got their established, passionate teams. So that's what I look for. But yeah, anyways, that's it for me. Just wanted to give my two cents and love you all. And I'm going to keep listening in here.
Thank you very much indeed. And really great shout for PS Labs. I think they're a fantastic project. Really low cost bint very innovative. And I have a few of the Terra X's and quite excited about the Terra O's that are coming out early next month. So that's great. We did have Agile step up. Now, I know a number of people have been having problems, myself included, with audio and everything else. I don't know if they're still on the call. Oh, yes, I can see. So Agile Arts is now a listener. Obviously, feel free to press request again. Otherwise, obviously, we are depends on lots of different time zones. It's quite late my time and I have an early start tomorrow. So I'm sort of very happy to do a few more minutes and then sort of look for a bit of a wrap up. So if anyone else obviously has been listening to the call, wants to step up and have a contribution, I can see a few new faces have joined and some familiar names have just stepped forward as well. So, you know, please do press the request button. Love to hear from you. I think it's been a really good, as always, open discussion. And I think it's fair to say, we will be having our regular weekly spaces. This is, as I say, an unusual day, in terms of coming back, and obviously we've had a pause, but we'll be looking to deep dive another project, another topic rather, and do a project as well indeed. Certainly in the next week or so, I would envisage we'll probably move back to our usual time slot of Monday 9 p.m. GMT. As always, we welcome suggestions from the community for other topics as well to explore. So I can see Agile Arts has re-requested. So you were very patient before. I'll wait for you to appear as a speaker, and we'd love to hear from you. So the floor is yours. Just in case I cut out there, so I know there are some issues. So Agile Arts, we can see you're now a speaker, so feel free to take the floor.
Thank you very, very much. I really appreciate it. It's really raining heavily here, so it's affecting the network. So I hope you guys can hear me.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm new to the space here. I'm just getting to know more people, you know. I'm a digital artist and a UI/UX designer from Nigeria. I have some of my work on OpenSea, of which I've minted, but I haven't gotten a sale. Like, I haven't gotten my first sale. I'm just hoping to get one. And I really appreciate the group because I've been learning a lot from the space. I really appreciate all the speakers here. Thank you very much for letting me speak in here. And I get to know more people. So I'll follow some in the group and, you know, get to relate and create a family, more like a community, so we can get to see each other's work and, you know, share works and thoughts about work and art. Okay, thank you very much.
That's great. Thank you, Ajar. And yeah, as I say, it's a very friendly community. So, you know, do contact and please, you know, join us again for future spaces. We generally do these on a weekly basis, and occasional specials we'll do as well. So no, it's great to have you here. I guess we'll probably come in towards the close now, unless if anyone else wants to step forward, that would be amazing. But happy to, you know, give sort of closing remarks. We've had a really, really great discussion today. Thank you as always. These calls really work well with broader participation. You know, Simon and I love sort of debating different subjects, but it really gives us both a lot of pleasure when people join us and share their thoughts and ideas. And for me, I've actually learned some fresh perspectives that I hadn't thought of before. I particularly want to sort of say thank you. Thank you to all the speakers, to be fair. Coleman for some fantastic insight into inner workings of the Lunar Balls and the passion and experiences there. Randall for some really refreshing thoughts. And you've got me thinking, really enjoyed that. Gilles, your passion for the art and the understanding of the, you know, particularly the monkeys, of which I'm a massive fan as well. And I'm sure I've missed several outs. We've had people drop off the call. And obviously Agile Arts is someone who's new to the space. Great to have you on this call. And please, you know, do join us again. And as I say, reach out and chat. Obviously, our good friend Barefoot Rabbits. I say this because he's a regular contributor. It looks like he's dropped off now, but I thought that was a nice open discussion and, you know, kind of innovation in action. And obviously I wish them well with their project and look forward to seeing a very visually appealing white paper. I think will hopefully be the net result. So I'd like to probably to hand over first of all to Simon, and then obviously for other members of the panel that are still sort of active for closing remarks.
Yeah, great. Thanks for jumping on, everyone. I think, especially over the next couple of weeks, we'll probably keep digging into NFTs for a bit. I mean, we were jumping around different topics for a while, but I'd love to see some flow and consistency over a couple of weeks. And every week we can touch on a different piece of NFTs. So I think touching on utility is going to be an interesting one, and that could be next week. And really digging into, you know, what is utility actually in NFTs, and is it just a band-aid added on top of an NFT? And is utility in an NFT just having a token, or is it a lot more than that? And I think that will be a good discussion for next week's NFT space. You know, Supertera and I are working behind on some, you know, stuff behind the scenes as well. So it's always very useful digging into NFTs and, you know, discovering more about different bits and pieces. So, you know, that's very exciting. So I'll open up if anyone's got any closing remarks, and otherwise we will wrap this week's spaces up.
Just thank you for having me up here. I loved everything we've discussed. I loved, I would love to be challenged more as well on these things, because I still want to learn. I don't think I've fully mastered what I'm even saying. So I'd love to add to that. And then, of course, I will be back. Thank you for having me to here today.
Yeah, just wanted to add that as well. Great stuff. Ready for next week.
Superb. Thank you, everyone. Really, really thoroughly enjoyed this. Thank you for all your contributions. And I've followed quite a number of people who are on this call, and look forward to speaking more in the coming days. And again, as I always say at the end of these end of these spaces, if you've got any ideas and suggestions, you know, please do DM me or DM Simon or you know, either of us. We're always open to you know, discussions, because for me, it absolutely is driven by the community. So thanks once again.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was Supertera, What Makes a Great NFT Project, recorded on Wednesday, March 23rd, 2022. This episode of The Ether was brought to you by Orbital Command, a community validator on Terra dedicated to educating, expanding, and promoting the Lunatic community. Take advantage of their Terra Luna Intel report on Telegram, which brings you the hottest news and updates on all things Terra each and every day. Find it using the link in the show notes. You can also support their community efforts by considering them next time you're delegating or redelegating your Luna. Find out more at orbitalcommand.io. This episode of The Ether was also brought to you by LuArt. LuArt is the first gamified NFT platform built on the Terra network. LuArt provides a seamless minting and trading experience, all while earning you rewards just for being a user. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the community in the Discord server for the most up-to-date news and announcements regarding all the hot new NFT launches, platform upgrades, and new projects hitting the secondary marketplace. Are you ready to put your helmet on and join the movement? Find out more at luart.io. Terra Spaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. Waking up like a basement dweller, stepped out the door and her racist yelling, 2020, what an ugly shit show, staring at the fucking Rickroll from the get-go, looking outside the whole state's on fire, the fuck do you expect when you embrace the liars, and replace the writers with AI just like us, emaciated models killing bright birds. First in, last out, picture me rolling. The worst time to cash out, so what you holding? The Merc's gonna cash cow, country stolen. Drooling over chicken like the goose is golden. Trying to be soulful, spitting that molten lava from the bottom of the caldera. I'm hot and gonna put it in a bottle and offer it to the god who hit the gas full throttle, blasting off in a rocket.
The many people who will see things happen to them that are in their favor. So someone's looking over me. That's a fascinating phenomenon when that happens. And when you analyze those situations, what you find is that we as humans simply have a profound inability to understand statistics and probability.
Stitching these writings, living that life like, who would have guessed you turn out this nice, right? Avoiding stress, that's the motherfucking secret. Print that shit on a motherfucking leaflet. I'm just an asshole hooked on the bricks. Looking at the rectangles, damn, they kinda thick. We've gone through a whole lot of kings here. Cutting off heads just to bring cheer. Getting all fired up, Tiger King, line them up. When you'd give an arm and a leg just to try the junk on some first time buyer's luck. Alexa, set a reminder and remind me to buy a bunch. And put your hands up if you fuck this year. And keep them in the air if you're picking up the spare. And put your mask on just to go outside. Looking at the planet about to downsize.
So climate change will not make Earth live in New York City, where in our harbor we have the Statue of Liberty. If you melt the water ice that's on land, the ocean level will rise to
and basically every other coastal city that we've spent thousands of years building since the dawn of civilization.
Channel Spaces.